What's up, you guys? And a very Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Holidays. Whatever you celebrate, we're happy to include you here at Fightful. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you so much for caring. Thank you so much for subscribing. I say this a lot, but I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm so happy to be talking to you guys when I do it. Thank you all so much for everything. All the questions, all the support, your constant support in subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. And we've got some really great things planned for 2021. I am so excited for it. We're working very hard to bring you some new stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it. But let's go ahead and get into the Q&A. Obviously, a bit of an abbreviated one this time. Didn't have as many questions, but we expected that going in. Sean Garner asks his traditional question. Who do you think beat Charlotte and Asuka for the tag titles? I'm going to keep saying that I want it to be the Riot Squad because I think they could be great at that. I keep saying I think they could be the jumping bomb angels of this division, and I really, really believe that. Josh says, in your honest opinion, who do you think is the most shocking death in wrestling or in general this year? In general, it's got to be Kobe Bryant and his daughter. I have to be honest with you. I did not really want kids that much until a year ago. There was this shot of Kobe with his daughter on the sidelines, and he is showing his daughter like what's happening in the game and explaining it to her. And that touched me so profoundly. I kind of softened my stance on, okay, I don't think I want kids, to, yeah, I probably do in the future. And that one had a big impact on me because it wasn't maybe a month later that, unfortunately, we lost both of them. And Kobe Bryant is one of those people, like, I'm a very competitive person, and I learned that from Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and watching them play basketball. And he had such a profound impact on so many people that that's the one, and especially considering, again, how that changed my mindset, just seeing him with her courtside and how he was so overjoyed with imparting that knowledge. That was so cool to me. In wrestling, it's got to be Hana Kimura. I mean, you know, Pat Patterson and Kamala and Road Warrior Animal, very sad. Zeus, Kevin Green, unfortunately, recently. Rocky Johnson, even Regis Philbin, who was involved in pro wrestling. But if I had to say, like, a most impactful and heartbreaking, I'm probably going Chad Gaspard and Hana Kimura. Categorically different circumstances. You never know what your words might mean to somebody else, and that's why if I ever think of anybody that I may have said something to that would impact them to that degree, I don't care if it was 15, 20 years ago, I'm going to try to establish contact with them and let them know that was fucked up, didn't mean that, I should have done better. Chad Gaspard, he's a goddamn hero, what he did to save his kid, heroic, there's no other words I can really provide there. There's Tracy Smothers, who unfortunately I only came to know personally in the last year. And in our region, he had such a profound impact on independent wrestling out here. That was a big one for a lot of people that I care about. So we lost a lot this year. Bob Armstrong, Xavier. There were a lot of people that, LaParca too. Good gosh, man, they just keep on coming to mind. This one seemed like a really, really big year for losing people. And hopefully next year's better because you'll always hate that. Who beats Kenny Omega for the AEW title, says Sean Garner. I think it's going to be Hangman Page. I think the story is there. When do you think Edge returns? I think he'll return at the Royal Rumble. Blake says, would a Brian Kendrick, Drew Gulak team be beneficial to both viewers and newer tag teams, or would it just be a waste of time? Almost every tag team seems like a waste of time in WWE at some point. But yeah, I think that's a good idea for a tag team. I think it would help teach a lot of people, and I think it would give them something to do that is more creatively satisfying. And yeah, I like that idea an awful lot. Blake said, has 2020 been the most frustrating year for wrestling? No, I don't think so. I thought that 2015 was really tough. 2016 at times was, but 2015 was pretty tough for me to get through. That one sucked, man. So many people injured and out, and the competition level was eh. The indies hadn't quite exploded yet, so I'd have to say that. But no, it wasn't as frustrating. Jake says, are you surprised the general appearance of the Thunderdome is the same in Tropicana as Amway? Yeah, I thought they'd really try to switch it up. I'm not going to say they got lazy with it, but I know that they dedicated a whole lot more time to putting together the Thunderdome in Tropicana than they had in Amway. And seeing it, I'm like, well, I don't know why. Maybe there were some logistical issues. I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but I was very surprised when I was told. I was surprised when I saw what it looked like after I was told how much more time they were going to take to produce it. Any idea if the Inferno match and result was always planned for the Fiend or more of a reactionary move? It was a bit of a reactionary move. It wasn't always planned like this, and it depends on what you mean by always. I mean, always, obviously not from the beginning of the character, but I thought that was a perfect way to beat him, but it was a bit reactionary. Jake says, Twitter wasn't a fan of it at the time, but was it the right call to have the Inferno match go on last instead of Roman and KO? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I got the word Sunday afternoon that the Inferno match is probably going to go up last, and there was some creative editing there. I wasn't sure exactly what that meant. Boy, did we find out. But yeah, I thought it was the right decision. Mark says, have you heard any news on what's happening with Andrade? I believe he had elective surgery, and he is out for a while, but we'll be back before you know it. What's been the best part of 2020 for you? Well, here's the thing. For sure, being locked down to Fightful was very good to me. I've always had a deal with them, but being locked down for years to come, that made me very happy, officially. I mean, it was kind of a foregone conclusion it was going to happen, but it officially happening was very cool. In that same token, getting to work with more UK-based outlets has been very, very good to me and cool to me. I got to work with WrestleTalk an awful lot, still write for their magazine. I work with Inside the Ropes, Kenny McIntosh, every Monday. We do Monday Night Live on Inside the Ropes. I didn't know what little footprint I had and Fightful had in the UK until that. And I am greatly thankful to Ollie Davis and Kenny McIntosh for allowing me to get myself out there on their platform. I am forever grateful for that. And besides Jimmy Van, the only person that I could work with at this point are Kenny McIntosh and Ollie Davis. Those are the only people I would work for in pro wrestling at this stage. And I truly mean that. They are really, really great. Also, a bit of a bittersweet thing, but getting to spend a lot more time with my wife has been a great part of 2020. She has not been able to be at school around her students because they're virtual learning, but having her around the house more than I expected was very awesome. I've gotten kind of accustomed to that over the last 2 or 3 years, so it's going to be a real adjustment when things go back to normal. Do you think that after they let the fans back, they'll still do cinematic matches, or will they phase out? I think they'll phase out, and occasionally you'll see them on kickoff shows, but I don't think they'll be nearly as prevalent. If they have to get really creative with something, they'll still do them. Dev says, what was the highlight of women's wrestling for you in 2020? Well, I've got a few. I'll give you three right off the top of my head. Sasha and Bayley doing what they did was awesome. They had such a great story throughout the year. I wish it wasn't as rushed towards the end. Deonna Purrazzo getting to show people what she could do in Impact, that was a very big one. And Thunder Rosa getting the platform of AEW was really important to me as well. That's just in North America, though. Dev says, I think it was you that said that you'd like to see storylines that have been done for the men of the past being given to the women of today. Are there any particular storylines that come to mind? There was always a story that I thought was really underrated in TNA. For months and months and months, you saw Sting and I think Nash and maybe Joe and the Pope. They would constantly say Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan are trash. They're trash. They're bad people. They're trash, yada, yada. And at that time, Hogan and Bischoff were heels. Or they were faces, rather, I should say. So as a result, it made all those other guys look like the heels. Then it was revealed, oh wait, Hogan and Bischoff are trash. These guys were actually the babyfaces all along. I think there could be some way that it's played there. You don't see a lot of family-based stuff with the women either. You don't see a lot of people get emotional over somebody taking shots at their husband or their kid or something like that. I think that's something Lacey Evans could play off of. Whenever Lacey would do NXT matches, her kid would often be ringside, and they would have her kid like play, like they the heel would play to that kid and stuff like that. So I think there are a lot of elements where you can do that. There's a lot of mystery attacker stuff that they don't really do. That ghost face shit really, really sucked. But a lot of tried and true stories they really need to implement and lay off of the, well, you're ugly, no, you're uglier type of thing. Dev also says, in my opinion, and it feels weird to say this, the longer women's championship runs have been a detriment to the Raw women's division. Initially, it was all Charlotte and Sasha in between, then Alexa had a run, then Ronda, then Becky, now Asuka. I know ultimately booking is the real issue, but what are your thoughts on the overall booking of the Raw women's division? Well, my thoughts are that it's complete dog shit, Dev, and I know women's wrestling is something that you're very passionate about, and I agree with you. To me, women's wrestling is still, for the mainstream avenue of things, very new as is constructed. And when you have Asuka becoming champion in May, and there's not a ton of memorable stuff between now and then, I mean, there's some, but not a ton, definitely not in the fall, you're dropping the ball. I always say that it's often difficult to book Asuka to the best of her abilities because she's got infinite ability. But they don't even book her a lot of the times. This happens in AEW too. Like, somebody becomes champion, they just do nothing. And I've said this time and time again, they had to add tag team titles because they had such a robust women's division that they had to find something else to do with a lot of these people. And they just don't do it. And I see what you mean. I thought one of the hottest periods, besides Becky Lynch, of that Raw women's title was when Charlotte and Sasha actually hot potatoed it back and forth. Because I tuned in every Monday on Raw knowing that title could change hands. And it did several times. I think they got to add some excitement to it. You got to lean on some new people. They could do a lot better. Josh said, have you heard any updates on Samoa Joe? Is he clear to return to the ring? I don't believe so. I can't say that specifically because I'm not him or his doctor. He is adamant that he's going to continue to wrestle. If you were booking the Randy Fiend Alexa storyline, where would it go next? How would the Fiend return if you're getting burned alive? I really like Jeff Hawkins' Two-Face idea. I think that would be a good one, where half the time he's Bray and then he turns around and he's the Fiend. With the Rumble coming up next month, which Rumbles are your favorites? Do you think Edge returns and wins? I do think that's a very good possibility. I thought it was going to be Big E. I don't think it's going to be Big E now. My favorites are 1992, 2007, and 2018. I think the men's and women's were both good that year. Jobber says, thank you to everyone at Fightful. I'm not so interested in the Rumble, but what does WWE do to make it interesting besides better booking? I don't think you have to do a ton to make the Royal Rumble interesting. I think it's going to be interesting all on its own. I'm writing a gigantic, gigantic feature on it right now. But I think it is the season of optimism. And they can pretty much get away with almost anything until the winner. But what do they do to make it more interesting? They've got to build up as many people as threats between now and then as they can. Jobber says, what's the story of Chicago Bulls and your favorite basketball team of all time? Have a nice day. Okay, so when I was growing up, Chicago Bulls were the team. You had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, at the time Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman. They were the team. I live in Kentucky between Lexington and Cincinnati. We do not have a local team. The closest team to us is in Indiana, and I had never been to Indiana, so I had no emotional connection to that. My favorite other sports teams are the Kentucky Wildcats, Cincinnati Bengals, Cincinnati Reds. They're all within an hour of me. I don't have a local NBA team. If they had a team in Louisville, that'd be my team. Cincinnati, same thing. If they plopped one down in Huntington, West Virginia, there you go. I'm all about local teams. And because there was none for the NBA, I went with the best team. I was a complete bandwagoner when I was little. And I retained that, really, up until like maybe a year or so ago, or maybe even this year, I adopted the Toronto Raptors, which are a very good team. I work for a Toronto-based company. I go to Toronto every single year. I've always loved the city of Toronto, even well before I went. But that's a different story for a different day. So I've kind of abandoned the Bulls and joined the Toronto Raptors fandom. But Denise getting me that shirt was very cool because the 98 Bulls are my favorite team of all time. Kelsey, it's good to see Kelsey here. She says, I know that the main roster and NXT are different, but with NXT slowly feeling like it's heading that way, do you think there's hope for Zane Carter and the Rascals? You mean Alex Zane, yeah, and the Rascals? I do, but I think a couple of those people are destined for 205 Live at first, and then we'll have to break through. I think they'll want to see that out of the Rascals and Zane. The Rascals might come in there as a tag team, but I think Zane will probably start out on something like 205 Live and break out and then eventually be on NXT. They never just bring people in and give them consistent pushes unless it's Karrion Kross, maybe some other people. I think there's hope, but it depends on what you mean. Most of these people know what they're getting into at this point. They've watched WWE long enough. Hypothetically, if we ever got a New Japan AEW crossover, what are the top three matches or interactions you're dying to see? Personally, I'd throw all my cash at MJF and Jay for the slimy heel promos alone. Yeah, I think MJF and Jay White's a good one. To me, I always said that if they wanted to go babyface with MJF, they got to find a guy who can out-motherfucker him, if that makes any sense. You got to find somebody slimier than MJF. That way, it'll make him be not so bad in comparison. I mean, here's the thing. Even though we've seen it, Okada and Omega has to be one, to me. The tag team thing, there's just really AEW stomps out New Japan when it comes to tag teams. But I would say Cody and Tanahashi would be an interesting one because of just their roles in the company. I think that'd be a really good one. Britt Baker against... Oh, wait, New Japan doesn't book women. So nobody there. I think Naito and Hangman Page could have a really good one. I think that'd be interesting. Kelsey says, not a question, but thank you for all the content that you and the Fightful crew put out. It's made work days and card rides so much more enjoyable. You're the best. I hope you have a safe, happy holiday. Well, thank you, Kelsey. Let's catch up very soon. Hope to hear from you because we really appreciate you. Nathan says, what are your thoughts on the second NXT show being a Lucha brand? I would love it, but I don't see them actually pulling it off. This is another instance, I think, of WWE getting a little too big for their britches, so to speak. I don't think an NXT Japan show would do good. I don't think the NXT India show will do good. And I don't think an NXT Lucha show will do good. Malecki says, do you think WWE will stick to a two-day WrestleMania format, or was it just a one-time deal? If they can't have fans, then yes, I think they'll do 2 days. And I think they're open to it in the future, making it a big weekend event instead of a one-night event. I mean, they already have TakeOver. But they have SmackDown on Fridays. And if we do see that, I think we'll see some NXT integration into Mania. Nathan says, to every one of you guys at Fightful, thanks for the news and the laughs. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Well, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Malecki also says, is the brand split in jeopardy because of Raw ratings? Will Vince try to do some Raw Super Show? Well, Raw USA and Fox have wanted split brands. However, it's often Vince McMahon that is trying to come up with these schemes to fix the ratings instead of just making a good show. It's in jeopardy of like it existing and being enforced, yes, but not in existing in general. Malecki asks about Daba Kato. Are they waiting to have something for him? Or maybe he's still too green? He is too green. That was the rap when they sent him back. They thought he was going to be a part of Raw Underground, but Raw Underground no longer exists, so they don't know what to do with him. They're having him work a little bit more. Matt says, did you pre-order any of the AEW Series 3 figures that went up last week? Yep, the whole set. I ordered two sets of Series 2 and one of Series 3. I'm going to probably sell one of the Series 2s or donate them, because I've actually had a lot of people in my real life, so to speak, reach out about their kids wanting AEW Series 2 figures and not being able to get them. So I'm going to see if maybe I can do something there. Matt says, who would you say have been the most underused talents in WWE and AEW this year? Well, AEW is a good question. I'll go with the entire women's division. The entire women's division are the most underutilized talents in AEW. They've got to do better on that. They've got to make more of an effort to utilize their women and make them an attraction, because it's inexcusable. In WWE, very easy for me. That's Malcolm Bivens. He is a great manager. He could help a lot of people, and a lot of people need his help. So I'm going to have to go with him. Jim says, do you know if WWE pipes noise into the Thunderdome, or is it sent out over the broadcast and the performers can't hear it? I'm pretty sure they can't hear it at all. At least that's based on what I heard early on. How are folks liking the Tropicana so far? Says Becky. Not as much as Amway, because it's a little bit more of a drive. It's about an hour drive for a lot of these people. But I was told there's a lot more space there. But sometimes that can be good and bad, because sometimes they'll be on one end of the building and they need to be on the other. Becky says, what brand do you think would be a better fit for Sonya when she eventually returns? Whatever brand Mandy is not on at that point. I want Sonya to stand on her own, and I think she can be a big, big star. And I mean top star. Title match at WrestleMania star. Do you think the inevitable Asuka versus Charlotte match will be at WrestleMania or the Rumble? Probably WrestleMania. Probably WrestleMania. They'll run that back. But they haven't made Asuka look like a dominant champion. They've just made her look like a cheerleader champion. And that's sad, man. They could do so much better with her. That's so underwhelming is that booking. And I hope that they go out of their way to establish her more and more. Jim says, if Kenny Omega would ever have a match against Xavier Woods, would you rather see them do a live in-ring match or a cinematic match? And that's a fantastic question. And I hadn't even considered them doing a cinematic match, and now I really want to see them do a cinematic match. As good as I think that in-ring match would be, I think their cinematic match could be like B-movie, cheesy, great type of stuff. That's a really good one. Zach says, few contracts set to expire from New Japan. What have they been doing to convince them to stay? Belief in the new leadership is the main thing, and the assurance that things are going to go back to normal in 2021. Also, more spots for native Japanese wrestlers. Zach says, was WWE close to signing Roosh, or was ROH always the main option? I had always been told that ROH was in the lead on Roosh. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, Andrade's there. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, he's going to go join up. We see friends split up all the time in wrestling. So I think that it's always been Ring of Honor. Do any of the WWE wrestlers that get slumped into main event or 205 feel like they've hit a glass ceiling? Yes, they do. I hear about it all the time. I hear wrestlers frustrated with regularity about main event and about how nobody watches it. And WWE has heard a lot of those calls and have went out of their way to try to make main event be more newsworthy, so to speak. Is Aleister Black being punished? The timing of his disappearance seems suspicious. Vince McMahon is not high on Aleister Black, at least the last I heard. But it's hard for me to believe that he's not being punished. It's easy to say, oh, no, he's not. But he's not been on TV since Zelina went away. So I'll work to find out more on that. It's hard for me to believe that he's not, though. Sheila. Great Sheila. We're so happy to see Sheila all the time. How's Impact handling the AEW working relationship so far? Are we going to see Impact wrestlers on AEW pay-per-views as well? Most in Impact don't expect it. They were kayfabed heavily about it at the last tapings, which were in November. So a lot of them expect to learn more in the coming weeks about how much they'll be featured, if at all. Do you expect more NXT call-ups happening soon? Can't imagine Rhea Ripley staying in NXT a couple more months with the upcoming Royal Rumble. Yeah, I do expect some more call-ups, or at least one or two here and there. I think we're going to start to see those peppered throughout the year more. I think WWE has understood by now that the cluster of call-ups is not good. Pepper a couple here, there, and all around. Assuming he doesn't appear on tonight's show, which this will air after, it'll be 3 weeks since Mox appeared on Dynamite. Is it safe to assume he's actually in Japan, despite Tony Khan saying he won't be at Wrestle Kingdom? I don't think it is. I don't want to assume anything. But if I were them, I would have taped a bunch of stuff and let him go to Japan and drop that title. But yeah, I could see why you would think that, and it's definitely something that I suspect. Jacob says, what are some of your favorite moments and matches in Impact TNA history? Elix Skipper walking the cage, that's one. Jeff Hardy jumping off the sign at Bound for Glory 05. Daniels, Joe, Styles, that was one of my favorite matches of all time. Angle's debut where he faced off with Joe. I love TNA wrestling between 2004 to 2009 especially. Oh, it was just, I adored it. Avery says, to me, the natural buildup for Kenny is either facing Hangman that gets on a winning streak in maybe a year, or Ibushi in a clash for the IWGP belt. How would you book Omega's given path, given the content we've been provided? Well, I would have to have him beat some really top names. When Moxley was champion, he was beating Archer, who's good but slotted. Eddie Kingston, great promo, but slotted. Jake Hager, people like that. I need some other established top guys, some other established top names. You've got Jericho, you've got Moxley, you've got Cody, but Cody can't compete for the title. So you need some more. You need some more. And then eventually you have Hangman, I think with the Dark Order really, sort of evolved to this leader. And then Brody Lee comes back whenever he does. But there's a power struggle there. Hangman beats Brody Lee, doesn't need everybody else, maybe retains one or two members of the Dark Order. Silver and Reynolds would be good. And he leads his group. His group, you got Hangman, Silver, and Reynolds against like maybe a Bucks Omega thing, and then eventually he takes the title. And they're sort of like the anti-elite. Oh, I would love that. And I think that John Silver and Alex Reynolds could pull that off too. Avery says, without giving away anything you need to keep private, what was the experience behind the scenes of your haircut like? So I'm going to be doing a full series on stuff like this. Whenever Fightful Select lands on the website, I'm going to be doing a thing called Sean Ross Stories, where I talk about the process of covering NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam in Toronto, the process of covering Double or Nothing in Vegas, the process of getting my hair cut. So I'll go into much more detail there. And I'll be joined by people usually on those. So like my wife helped me cover the Toronto stuff. She'll be on that show. This one would be pretty much all me doing it. But Avery also says, it's hard to imagine Meltzer or Alvarez walking through WWE within the past 20 years. Regardless, the relationship and being welcomed by everyone with open arms. I'd love perspective on the dynamic, seeing that you're one of the most respected journalists covering this field. Well, I thank you for that. I reached out to Brandy, or actually Jimmy did, and I had never spoken to her before, and she helped make this happen because of the cause, and I greatly appreciated that. Leva Bates came to help me arrange everything, came to get me around the back of the venue. We went over a lot of the stuff. We did a couple dry runs. They took input from everybody in that segment, myself included, on how we wanted to handle things. Sick Nick Mondo filmed it. That was cool. John Moxley's mom was there watching it. That was cool. And then when Joey Janela walked by and saw us, when I was standing right next to Brandy, he said, Sean Ross Sapp, I'm not going to give you any more dirt. That was awkward. But I'm going to go like really, really into detail on the Sean Ross Stories episode there. But I mean, I was there and I saw a lot of people that I came to know. Like I saw Christopher Daniels, who I'd met a couple times. And I did see Joey Janela back there, who I've met many, many times. And it was a very welcoming thing. AEW has never treated me like a second-class citizen, and that's more than I can say for almost every other company. Maybe not ROH. At times, I've seen it from people in TNA Impact, definitely seen it within WWE. I've never felt that way with AEW, and I really appreciate that. They know I'm just doing a job. Avery says, not a question, but I'd like to thank you for all the wonderful content this year. My father fought and beat cancer throughout the year. As I completed my degree online at home, I need an escape more often than not. For a few hours a week, this staff has been that. You all may not know me and vice versa, but I will always feel indebted to you. As my Hanai, which means adopted in Hawaii family, subscriber for life. Well, thank you so much. I can't tell you. I know I run a jokey, humble bit when we do those bits on Listen, You Boy. It's seriously so humbling. It seriously means a lot to me. I'm from a little town of like 200 people. So knowing that at any given time, like watching one of our shows are three times the number of people that live in my town, that's mind-boggling. And maybe sometimes the reason why I take offense so much whenever we do get unwarranted criticism, because if somebody's got a problem with you here, something terrible's happened. But thank you guys so much for sticking with me. I know sometimes I plug an awful lot of stuff and I'm pushing this stuff, but it's because I want it to succeed, not just for me, but for our great staff, and because I want to keep bringing you guys as much stuff as possible. The reason I bug WWE every single month and say, hey, I'd love to interview this person, is because I want to keep giving you guys cool content. I want to keep finding out stuff for you. My favorite part of my job is learning, and when I learn that stuff, I want to share it with you guys as well. So let's do more of that in 2021. Thank you, Avery. Thank you, all of you. I can't tell you how important you all are to me. I went through a very rough patch in 2020, and if not for you guys, I would still be in that rough patch. So thank you all. We're out.